Keith Humphreys. Welcome to the Fly Longer podcast. We hope at the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy.
All right, morning Fly Church. Glad that you guys are joining us from wherever it is you're joining us, your homes, with your family, with your growth group. We're very glad that we could fellowship together. And I know these are weird times, but hey, we are doing what we can do and we're doing the best we can. And so today we're going to be continuing with the series and we're going through the book of Exodus. And today we're going to be looking at another story that the children of Israel are going through. And we're going to be answering a question together. What do we do when our blessing has been delayed? What is it that we do when our blessing has been delayed? So before we dive into it, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Jesus, for you're with us. God, my prayer is that as we dive into your word today, you teach us and you help us to obey, to just obey you, Lord. Help us to trust you with everything we have. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. All right, so now, as Theo has said, my name is Dali Mizaya, and I started coming to Flood in 2012 when I was a freshman in college. And in 2016, I was getting ready to graduate, and I felt God calling me to help plant, not Flood Church, but Young Life Ministry in Zuzu. I felt God was calling me to help outreach the young people of Zuzu with Jesus Christ, to help them know Jesus, and so that they could grow in their faith as well. And so, as it was leading to that, we started praying for Young Life to be in Zuzu. People started praying for me, and it was apparent that God's hand was on this move, because there were a lot of things that were happening. I remember taking trips to Zuzu, meeting leaders in Zuzu, trying to find a house. And I mean, the trips weren't easy, because at that time, there was only one bus that was going to Zuzu, only AXA was traveling to Zuzu. But everything leading the move was positive. It was one of those indications where you know that, okay, God is really leading you towards this area, you know, and people were very generous with their gifts. I remember staying 6 months, my first 6 months in Zuzu, without paying rent, because people were generous with their giving for the move. People were praying, and everything was showing that God really wanted me to be in Zuzu. Up until I moved. I remember moving to Zuzu, and the first few months were really tough. I know rent is paid and everything, but I have to start working. You know, I remember going to schools, trying to reach out to the headmasters, different schools, because Young Life usually works with schools, secondary schools of different type of kinds. And the headmasters would just be like, yeah, we've seen this letter, we'll get back to you. And no one will get back to me. I remember there was one time I conducted a leader training and six leaders, six hopefuls showed up. Only two decided to start ministry with me, you know? And at this point, I started to feel like a fraud. Like, God, isn't this what you've wanted me to do? Isn't this that calling you've opened, that calling you've put on my heart? Isn't this the door you've opened? And I know that some of us today and some of us watching tonight are going through that particular season in our lives, you know? For the past 2 years, 2020 and 2021, these years have been really tough. These have been years where God might have opened a door for business for you in 2019. Things are leading to the business being successful. You can see it. The signs are there. This business is taking off. And then COVID happens. You know, you applied for that school. They've accepted you to go into that school. You check your email. The acceptance letter is in your inbox. The itinerary is there. You need to fly on a particular date. You're going to start school on such and such a date. And then lockdown. And then COVID. You have to push your wedding because you're not sure if you want a Zoom wedding or an actual wedding. You know, there's a lot that is going on in our country. There's a lot that is going on in our lives. And all these are delays that we are having to come to terms with. These are delays that we are having to come to terms with in this season of life. But I have one thing that I wanted to tell you guys today. When we face such delays, when we go through such delays, there's one thing I want us not to do. This one thing. Don't grumble. I know that's the easiest thing to do, you know, where I'm facing a delay and I want to tell my friend the situation I'm going through, like, hey, bro, things are not looking all right. And then he also tells me what's going on in his life because misery loves company, right? But don't grumble. If anything, trust that delay to the Lord in prayer and obey him. Trust that delay to the Lord in prayer and obey him. And the story we've been following through in this series is an indication of the children of Israel going through a similar situation. So if you have a Bible where you are, let's read together Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. The Bible says, "Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he, Moses, cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. And he threw that log into the water, and the water became sweet. Now there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your healer.' Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water." Now, if you've been following through the story, we are coming from Exodus chapter 14, where last week Wilson preached a very powerful message, and we could see that the children of Israel were in a situation where they found themselves stuck. They had the Red Sea right ahead of them, they had the Egyptians coming to kill them, and it was at that point where God made this miraculous thing to happen, you know. And these guys were front row center, watching God do this miracle for them. The Red Sea opened up. And Exodus chapter 15, the first chunk of the chapter, we see the children of Israel celebrating. They're excited, they're celebrating, they're praising God. Thank you, God, for opening that door. And now in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, the passages we just read, Moses leads them into the wilderness of Shur. And 3 days into this wilderness of Shur, they have found no water. And the point they find water, the water is bitter. Couldn't help but imagine myself with where I live, you know. Even you guys, we live in Malawi. Sometimes there's water issues going on. And if water goes out for a couple of days, when it comes back, you're rest assured that water is dirty. I had a similar situation last week with Eskom acting up. And I try not to talk most about Eskom because my dad works for Eskom. But last week, they just got on my last nerve. I went on Facebook, I wrote some posts. And so I was just thinking through this, like, what if the children of Israel had Twitter? What if they had Facebook? Probably like, eish, Moses is at it again, eh? This guy is taking us from Egypt. We would have been in Egypt right now. What's going on? Where's the water? What's happening here? And with that, it's easy for me to have compassion on them because I also go through the similar situations with our service providers. You know, and it just puts me in that situation they're in. I can understand the children of Israel because they've gone 3 days without water, but they're coming from a place where God had opened a door for them. God had parted the Red Sea. And you'd think everything would go smooth sailing, right? You'd think God has done this miraculous thing and everything is about to go smooth sailing, right? But that wasn't the case. You see, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, the Bible says, the children of Israel got to a point where they believed God and they believed his servant Moses. So after they had seen Moses do this miraculous act that was directed by God, they got to a point where they believed. But now 3 days into the wilderness of Shur, doubt is creeping in. They have mistrust. Doubt is creeping in the camp. And sometimes as believers in this day and age, we fall into the same trap. One moment we're praising God, we're thanking him for the miraculous act he's done, and we hit a bump in the road, we hit a hurdle, we go through a delay, and we're questioning him. Like, what's going on, God? And perhaps we may believe in God, but we don't fully trust him. You and I may believe in God the same way the children of Israel did in Exodus 14, verse 31, after seeing him do all the things he's done, but we don't fully trust him. Because if we fully trusted God, we would prayerfully take our delays to him. We would prayerfully trust our delays to him. Now imagine if the children of Israel trusted God first with their situation. Imagine how that situation would work out. Now imagine if you trusted God first with your situation. If you trusted God first in that situation you're going through in your relationship. If you trusted God first in that situation you are going through in your friendship. if you trusted God first with that situation you are facing in that delay you're going through. And I'm not talking about trusting God as that whole what would Jesus do bracelet we wear where you're trying to weigh your moral standing with him. So you show him, hey, God, I've done all these things. Please bless me. No, I'm talking about trusting God as in having, allowing him to be involved in every aspect of your life. Because God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. So cry out to him. Tell him what's going on right now. Tell him, God, it is you who opened this door. I've seen you do this before, Lord. I just got into this school and I don't know where fees is coming from. You just allowed me to start this business, God, and I don't know where my next clients are coming from. I have no hope right now. My only hope is in you. Please, Lord, help me. Cry out to him. Because we see Moses cried out. Moses cried out and God showed him a log. And he took that log and threw that log in water. And the water at Marah, Marah was the water that was bitter. It became sweet. The water became sweet as Moses cried out to him. So trust him. God in this situation is teaching the children of Israel to be able to trust him in every situation. So trust him. Trust him with the uncertainty this year is bringing. We don't know where this year is going. We started it, but we don't know where we're going. But trust him. Trust him with that delay you're facing. You know that you want to be somewhere, but there's a delay going on there. Trust him with that delay you're going in. And trust him with the big things, the things we think are the most important, the parting of the Red Sea, but also trust him with the small things. Those things that you think are unimportant, God is not concerned with this. Trust him with those small things. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The problem with us is we lean on our own understanding first. You know, we go with what we are understanding. So we lean on our own understanding first. And so we forget that the same God who allowed you to go through college, the same God who gave you that place at that school, is the same God who is in the wilderness with you, waiting after you've gotten that degree because there's nothing happening. He's the same God in the wilderness with you. And he is the same God who will take you out of that wilderness as you get that job. He never changes. He is the same God in that wilderness. So trust him. Now, the wilderness of Shur led to this lesson where eventually God directs the children of Israel to Elim, as we read in the last couple of verses. And so, Elim is a place where the Bible says there were 12 streams and 70 palm trees. Marah is where they got the bitter water. But them trusting God led them to Elim, where there were 12 streams and 70 palm trees. Their own leaning on their own understanding led them to Marah. Trusting God led them to Elim. You can do with that information what you want. I don't think I should explain any further with that. But ultimately, we can only get to a point where we cry out the same way Moses did and trust God prayerfully with our situation if we truly obey him. We can only cry out to him and trust him fully with all our situation. Trust him fully with your delay if we obey him. Now, God is not surprised with the response of the children of Israel. If anything, he saw it coming because he wanted to teach them a lesson. Let's read together verses 25 to 26. The Bible says, there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your God, the Lord your healer. For I am the Lord your healer. Now the Bible says, if you listen diligently to the voice of the Lord, if you do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments, I will not put these diseases I've put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. In other words, God is trying to say, if you obey me, I'll come through for you. If you obey me, I'll come through for you. And this is not obedience that is based on compulsion, you know, because the dictionary definition of obedience says submitting to authority of someone or complying with the law. And sometimes that's what we move with, because we know that if we obey, something good is going to happen to us. But this is not obedience that is based on compulsion of us being forced to do it. But this is obedience that trusts God. This is obedience that is built in intimacy with God. You know, because most times we go through the hurdles we go through, it's because God wants us to see him more for who he is than for what he does. And the obedience we have that is in intimacy with him allows us to see God for who he is, as opposed to just seeing him for what he does for us, for the things he does for us. God isn't an absent father who wants to gift you just to shut you up. You know, he doesn't want to give you a gift just to say, I've done my quota for this first half of the year, this kid can go now. God is a present dad who wants to gift you because he loves you, but he also requires intimacy. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be intimate with you, his child. He wants to have a relationship with you, not a transactional relationship, but an intimate relationship with you. And that is that intimacy that trusts him, even if he comes through or not. You know, sometimes he comes through for us. Sometimes things go different way than we expected it to go. But this is that intimacy that still trusts him. That intimacy that trusts knowing that he is good, even in that delay you're facing. Even in that delay you're going through, God is good. That intimacy that knows that COVID might be wreaking havoc right now, but he is with you. He is with me. He is with us in the valley of the shadow of death. This is that intimacy that is assured in the fact that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the fact is, as Christians, just because we faced a wilderness doesn't mean we're not going to face another wilderness. You know, our greatest example is Jesus. In Luke 4, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And this is not the last wilderness you're going to see. This is not the last wilderness you're going to go through. This is not the last delay you're going to go through. But the only difference is, when you truly obey him, you're going to trust him fully in that wilderness. And that makes a difference. If you truly obey him, you will trust him fully in that wilderness. And that is what will make the difference. So trusting God in your situation is a response of an obedient heart. Trusting God in whatever situation we're going through is a response to our obedient heart. So I want us to answer two questions today. So you may be in your growth group, you may be with your family, wherever you are. Just jot down these two questions. We're going to answer them together. What does obedience look like to you in this season of your life? This season you're going through right now, what does obedience look like to you? And the second question is, what are you going to trust God with as a response to the obedience? What are you going to trust God with as a response to your obedience? I just don't want to ask you guys as if I am giving you an assignment. I want the same for my life. I want the same to be truthful for my life. So I'll give you my responses. What does obedience look like to me in this season of my life? Well, doing what I'm doing right now. Because in 2013, I felt God calling me, but I've been running. And so obedience in my life is saying yes. Obedience in my life is seeing Pastor Humphrey say, hey, daddy, you're preaching on the 28th, and saying yes. And what am I going to trust God with as a response of my obedience? I'll trust him with my life. I know that seems general, so let's get specific. I'll trust him with my relationship, knowing that whatever God wants for me is because of his doing, not because of my security. I'll trust him with my family, knowing that wherever God takes me is because of my obedience to him and his doing, not trying to be my own security. And so those are the questions I want us to discuss today. And just huddle up with your growth group, with your family, and be honest with each other, you know? Be transparent with each other. Be open with each other and answer these questions together. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for you're a great God. Thank you, Jesus, for the work you did on the cross. We are nothing without you, Lord. We are nothing without your leading. We are nothing without you guiding us. We are nothing, oh God, without you. And God, as we go through these questions, my hope and prayer is that you allow us to see you for who you are. You allow us to be immersed in your mercy, your grace, that shows us where we should be, Lord. Might not make sense right now, may not be where we want to be, but help us trust you. And help us trust you with an obedient heart. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen.
Time to listen to the Flood Lilonge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilonge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.